Here's what you missed on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Are you going to take the swine flu vaccine?
Absolutely not. I'm sorry.
No way.
Absolutely not. It's just people are getting such misinformation.
Swami, Dr. Bruce and I have already said we're not going to get the swine flu vaccine. How about you?
Well, I definitely don't need the swine flu vaccine. You know, I will channel Porky Pig to say, yeah, that's all, folks. No, I'm not going to get that.
Now we take you back to the night of September 22nd, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Back now to Boris Said. And Boris, if I understand everything correctly, in frustration over Mr. Shore having part of this and you having part of this and not being able to get it out to the American people, you're going to do, in essence, an end run around Shore, and you're going to produce this video independently and distribute it.
That's right. It's not going to be a network quality show. There's not the money for that. But what I'm trying to do is establish two things here. As I say, I've been at this now since 1991. And it wasn't the easiest thing in the world getting the Mysteries of the Sphinx on the air, because a lot of people were not thrilled with the idea that there might have been an earlier date and therefore an earlier civilization. But it occurs to me, if you've got 15 million listeners and we could find some focal point for them, and we could create ultimately a data bank, a list of interested people who want to support this sort of expedition. There are a lot of things we can do. We've got a 13-show series in the works now that we're talking to one of the cable networks about. We're going to be seeking some investment for that. We're going to be taking people from a list. We've got a whole group of people that are anxious to go on these expeditions, and they do everything from haul boxes to haul lights, and some are investors, and some just come along.
Mm-hmm.
My thought was that if there's a group of people out there that want to see what I've been talking about in Egypt, I'm going to put it on high eight. I'm going to put it on a good, professionally done, but not network quality, 45-minute tape that will have pictures of that sarcophagus, pictures of the well, pictures of the tunnel up over the Sphinx, and all of the stuff we've been talking about. We're producing it independently now. We couldn't, up until like last week, we didn't know where we were with Dr. Shore, and we're still not 100% sure where we are, but we know that the footage is lost to us.
Basically, to lay things out for people, there is this existing footage shot under the Shore auspices.
Yes.
That you shot, I guess there are lawsuits and counter-lawsuits, and this thing is going to be hung up forever, and the baby's going to get torn in half. Nobody
exactly
can use either half, so here you go around all of it and try to produce it anyway, and you are then soliciting people who are interested.
Yes.
In supporting you in this effort.
In the home market.
And, all right, fine.
I'm making this pledge that every penny that we take in will go towards the production of this tape and getting into that room one way and another in Egypt. We are working on a not-for-profit foundation, but I think it's a long time in the doing, and it's quite expensive to do. So what I'd like to do is break it up into bite-sized chunks. I'd like to just solicit donations from people, in return for which I'm going to send them this tape.
All right. How do they contact you?
Okay. They can either contact me, Boris Said, S-A-I-D, or my company, Magical Eye Incorporated, Magical Eye, Inc.,
All right. So you're soliciting just donations at this point.
I'm soliciting donations. I'm putting it out there that the shipping and handling is about $5, and the cost of actually producing the tape, our cost is about $4. So, you know, if people can part with $20 or more, hallelujah. I mean, whatever they can send us will go towards this project, and I will establish a list. I would like to have a newsletter. I would like to feel that we can get a newsletter out. I would like to feel ultimately we'll have a website. I'd like to feel that we could put together a group of interested people who would like to get this information out there, and people who'd like to support guys like Larry Hunter and Richard Hoagland and the people that are doing this kind of work, so that when we do have trips or we have investment opportunities as in a specific network project or something, we'd have a list of people to go to and say, hey, you seem to be interested, would you like to be involved?
Sure.
I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way that we're ever going to combat the big money interest, the people that are stifling this information, other than a whole bunch of little people banding together.
Now, you told me that the deal with Fox fell through because you weren't about to sign a contract turning over creative and content to Fox.
I have the operative paragraph pinned to my wall here.
Really?
It says, Fox shall have complete prior business and creative control and approval over all elements of each program ordered hereunder, including without limitation. The script development, the material, all versions thereof, titles of the program, casting, producer, director, composer, host, writer, story editor, replacements for any such personnel, music, use and selection of film clips, still photographs, and it goes on for a paragraph.
My God. So they were taking it all, and this was of something that you had already 90% finished the shooting on.
The only thing we didn't have was the host.
The host, all right. Well, that, I guess, would have been easy.
Well, I mean, the host would have been, it was a question of which network we went with. Fox didn't want Heston, NBC wanted Heston. Fox didn't tell us who they wanted. They
Gee, who wouldn't want Heston? That's crazy.
Fox didn't want Heston. He wasn't their image.
I see. All right. So, look, it wasn't going to get done by Fox. You then, before you gave up on all this, and you're on my show tonight, you went to another network, right?
Yes, we did. And the other network basically was interested, and I'll tell you how that played out. On August, I think, 14th, but I may be wrong on the date, I went down to Virginia Beach to the Edgar Cayce Foundation, where Dr. Hawaz and Dr. Shore were speaking.
That was the ARE conference.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I confronted Dr. Hawaz, and I said, look, I've got to deal with a major network. They're interested if you will help us open this tunnel. And he said, what if the tunnel is empty, or what if there's no tunnel? I said, Zahi, I'll take that chance. It doesn't matter. If you'll go down there and dig and allow us to film it, I believe that we can put a show on that will be very good for Egypt, and it'll put all these rumors to rest once and for all. He said to me in front of three witnesses, Boris, if you and Dr. Shore can resolve your differences, I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Shore was not interested in talking. Dr. Hawaz tried him. He called me up. He said, you know, Dr. Shore doesn't want to talk about it. He feels the thing is his. He wants you to get out of the project.
Oh.
Now, I don't know how true that is. I don't know at first hand that happened, but I can tell you that Zahi Hawaz, for all of what people say about him, has always been very fair with me.
Well, I want to say something about that, too. Everybody had me scared of Dr. Hawass. I had done a number of shows with Bivol and Hancock, and, of course, Richard. And I was almost scared of Dr. Hawass, certainly freaked out to go over to Egypt. I thought, man, I'm not coming out of there alive. And then one day, I received an autographed copy of a picture of Dr. Hawass in a frame. And I thought, oh, my God. It's like waking up with a horse head next to you in bed, you know. And it said, thanks for all your help, Art. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm in deep stuff here.
I love it.
But actually, then I had an interview set up with Dr. Hawass. And the other day, oh, I don't know, a week or so ago, Dr. Hawass, I called Dr. Hawass. He said, I'll tell you what, let's cancel this interview. You'll be in Egypt October 4th. Come to my office when you get to Egypt, and I'll take you anywhere you want to go. Now, I've got lots of choices. I could go up above the King's Chamber and take a look at all of that, supposedly secret. Or I could go, I suppose, I asked you where I ought to ask him to go, and you said, down into the well.
I would go down. I think you find the well fascinating. That trip up to those chambers is a hairy expedition, let me tell you.
So my, I'll bear that in mind, thank you. So my impression of Dr. Hawass is certainly changed, and he seems very, very open to me.
Well, he's open to me, too. I don't know where he got this rap. As I say, all I ever heard about Dr. Hawaz was from John West, and he and John have a grudge that go back a long way, I guess.
Well, I guess there was a little something that I heard. Maybe you can confirm this or deny it, Boris. Regarding Bivol and Hancock, there was something about Dr. Hawaz allegedly saying that if they showed up at Giza, he would have them thrown in a deep pit, beheaded, and I think you may know the rest of the quote.
Yes, I do. I know it intimately. look, when I got down to Virginia Beach, I walked into a hotel which will remain nameless, and there was a table, a round table, at which sat Dr. Shore, Dr. Jehoda, Zahi Hawaz, Robert Bovall and his wife, and a couple of other people, and they all seemed cordial enough to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've known Zahi a long time. I'm sure Zahi has a temper. We all do. So do I. But I absolutely would never believe that story, because that's just not the kind of thing he would say. In my knowledge of the man, I mean, I don't think there's any love lost there. You know, I don't think he's a big fan of Vivald. I don't think he's a big fan, for that matter, of what we're doing. But I've never known him to be anything but fair. And I'm not. That's not a self-serving statement. The guy's been fair to me, and that's the truth of it.
Well, when I talked to Dr. Hawass, he said, "You're an interesting man, Mr. Bell, and I hear every word you utter in Egypt."
Well, I'm sure of that. I can tell you this about Zahi on a personal note. He got a girl a job working for my company. When one of our employees had to go home early, and we were short a production assistant, and he sent a girl for an interview, and she's my wife today.
Oh,
so
Dr. Hawass introduced you to your wife, then?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, you all big time then.
I don't think that's what he had in mind. It happened, but we've laughed about it. I consider Zahi a friend. We started off on the wrong foot, and we patched it up. And I tell you, you know, with all these stories about conspiracies and things, I have never seen any evidence of it.
Well, the big rap against Dr. Hawass, and I'll give it to you and let you comment, and you can dodge it if you want.
Okay.
But the comment is, or the myth perhaps is, that Dr. Hawass will allow teams to come over, the Shore team, the University of Florida folks, and others, and do a lot of hard work with X-ray, with ultrasound, all the rest of it, and identify interesting areas to probe, and then just when it gets to the point where they're ready to actually do a dig or confirm what they've found through X-ray or ultrasound, then Hawass says, "See you later, you're out of here," and proceeds himself. That's the rap. Now,
well, I tell you what, I know that that's the rap, okay, and I am not going to dodge the question. I'm looking for a correct way to answer it. I'd say this to you. Certainly, I don't know that a lot of this started when Gantenbrink sent his camera up into that little room and
yes,
found that thing, and then Gantenbrink got thrown out. I don't know Gantenbrink. I understand, and I understood this from Bovall, that he was not the easiest guy in the world to get along with, and there was a lot of ego there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is without question a lot of ego in Egypt. I used to say that Egypt should have been named Ego-gypt or something like that.
Ego-gypt.
Because it is without question, there are a lot of agendas on that plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I would not deny that. But I don't think that Dr. Hawass is basically deliberately sort of allowing people to spend their money and then throwing them out. I just don't think that's accurate.
All right.
I think people may run afoul of them. I think that problems may occur, just as happened with Shore. I don't know why our permit was canceled.
All right. Well, let's ask this question. Now, look, the pyramids are in Egypt. Egypt is a sovereign nation. One argument says that we're a bunch of meddling outsiders who have no right demanding to do anything at all inside the sovereign nation of Egypt. It's theirs. The other argument says the pyramids belong to the world. The information that may be there belongs to the world. It's much bigger than any nation's individual sovereignty. Which argument do you favor?
I believe that Egypt is, that the monuments are sovereign to Egypt, and I believe that they have, over the years, been ripped off by foreign archaeologists who've had the money and the know-how to to mount the expeditions and take all the artifacts. All the artifacts of Egypt are in the British Museum and the Louvre and all over the world. But I do believe that it's a legacy for the world, and I don't think the Egyptians would deny that. And my problem is that I haven't seen, since I started in Egypt, a single one of these expeditions which went to the Antiquities Department and said to them, look, we'd like to work with you on this. We'd like you to name a team of Egyptian archaeologists to work with our scientists to develop some theories about the Sphinx. Mm-hmm. Certainly John West didn't do that, and most certainly neither did Dr. Shore. I'm the documentarian, but that's what I would have done. And when I went to Dr. Hawaz, when this whole thing came apart in February, and I said, look, Zahi, why don't you open the tunnel and just let us film it, and we'll give Dr. Shore credit, you know, for the scientific work that he did.
Right.
And Zahi was quite receptive to that idea.
All right.
Now, now, you know, if I come out to Nevada and I'm a delegation from the sovereign nation of Turkey, for instance, and I walk in and say, I'm going to dig here, and you guys just stand back out of the way, you know, I think we find it ours, I wonder how it would be received.
Not real well.
Exactly. So I think that both things are true. I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I think, yes, it is a sovereign nation, and it's, the stuff is theirs, and it's their history and their background and their ethos that we're dealing with. Yes, I think that it belongs to the world, and I have not seen a single instance of the government standing in the way of a legitimate effort to bring this stuff to the world. What happens is that the people that mount these expeditions, as happened with Dr. Shore, as I think happened with the John West expedition, is the egos get involved.
All right, let me take you back to the Shore expedition. How much interest did Dr. Shore show on items inside the Great Pyramid as opposed to outside, you know, the Sphinx, the tunnel and chamber and so forth?
Not much.
I had to
basically badger him into bringing Danley over, and Danley was not even paid an honorarium. He came basically because I begged him to.
You must have discussed this with Dr. Shore. Why so little interest?
Well, because Dr. Shore is, I believe, interested in one thing and one thing only, and that's discovering, and that's proving that Edgar Cayce was right and that there is a chamber under the Sphinx. I think he's obsessed with it. And I think that whatever the man's inconsistencies have been, they're due to the fact that he is obsessive about getting into that room.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he... Now, you're going down one road with us tonight in what you want to proceed with. Now, what do you think Dr. Shore will do? I'm asking you to speculate, but if he is obsessive with regard to trying to get to the secret chamber, how do you think he will proceed?
I think that he will go to Dr. Hawaz and say, all right, I've gotten rid of Boris, and now we're going to go to the room. And I think that, I think, I don't, it's a hard question for me to answer, because I think what he did is irrational. I think that we had this thing, you know, swimming towards the boat, as they say, and then, you know, it became a question of who was the boss and who was in charge of what. And, you know, was I acting without his permission, and did I need his permission in the film, and so forth. And it became a struggle of will, and I said, look, you know, I'm not working for you, I'm making a film. And in the end, I have a responsibility to my shareholders to make a successful film. So what do I think he's going to do? I don't know. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and get this news out to as many people as will...
Well, one thing he might try to do is go to Dr. Hawass and have you cut off.
Well, yes, he can. He can certainly try and do that. You know, and will Zahi do it? I don't think so. I think Zahi will say, you guys settle your own problems. Because I'm going to do whatever the court suggests I do. And yes, I may get cut off, but I believe this. I think if I can get several thousand of these tapes out there, and among the several thousand people who buy them, there are a couple of editors, or there's some people who have influence with a senator, or there are some people who would like to seriously get interested in this thing, I think we can put a team together and go to Egypt and sit down with Zahi and say, look, this is going to be good for Egypt. We want you to open the tunnel. We want you to do the work. We'll give you the rights to Egypt for nothing. We'll give you the cassettes in Egypt for nothing.
All right, listen, we're at the top of the hour. What I would like to do is open the phone lines, let people ask questions.
Great.
Would you be willing?
Absolutely.
All right, then that's coming up next. Stand by. Interesting, huh? I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 22nd, 1997.
Lips, sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty